everybody, and welcome to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amla Benobi. We got Taylor here.
Boop, boop, boop. I don't have a camera on me.
And oh, and we still haven't even put in that sound for you guys. I apologize for all of you who complained about us not having that sound. Today, we're going to talk about something really important, and it's a debate that's been ongoing, mostly on the internet. I'm seeing on Twitter a lot. Is the left, specifically these radical progressives who happen to be in all these upper echelon jobs and all the spheres of influence in our society, apparently, are they trying to groom children? I've seen a lot of people go back and forth on this. Of course, the left is saying, absolutely not. We wouldn't dare take over anything with your children. We wouldn't dare indoctrinate them, even though we have all this evidence of them doing it. But on the right, this seems to be a sort of fiery debate. We got a lot of conservatives saying, grooming is way too strong of a word. It's not like they're sexualizing kids or teaching them anything in that nature or that realm of things. Let's reserve the word grooming for when it should actually be used. So we're going to talk about the definition of that word, go through some of the evidence of leftists doing exactly this in schools, and decide whether or not that's something that we should characterize it as. But we have a special guest to discuss all of this today. She is a conservative political commentator, author, and host of The Liz Wheeler Show. What's her name? Liz Wheeler, thank you for being on.
Amla, thank you so much for having me. It's delightful to be here.
I always love to have another conservative woman on the show because I feel like I'm surrounded by men. My whole team is male here, so I am surrounded by white male oppression all day long.
Terrible.
We know the narrative.
It's terrible. I mean, the United States, what can I say?
So me and Liz are not going to complain about patriarchy today, but we're actually going to talk about this subject matter. Liz, what has been your experience with this whole debate?
Well, I think the word groomer is the left is using it as a distraction, right? Because they don't want us to look at the videos that you have planned for us to watch. They don't want us to talk about what's actually happening in public schools, what curriculum is dictating that teachers teach children, and then what some individual teachers are choosing to share with their children, meaning they choose to share about their own sex lives to elicit conversations, they say, to start these discussions at questions about sexual orientation and gender identity. The left doesn't want us to be talking about that because this is not just an issue that conservatives or Republicans care about. This is an issue parents across the board care about. And it's actually kind of interesting. I think there's not too many policy issues that one party has the opportunity to poach voters that are traditionally loyal to the other party. And this is one of those topics. This is a topic where Democrat moms and dads don't want their children, their kindergartner, being taught that they can be transgender. You can be a boy if you want to be a boy, a girl if you want to be a girl.
Right.
And so the left has said, they've zeroed in on this word, saying, don't use this word groomers. It's disrespectful. It means something else. And I would argue, I mean, I can meet them at their argument and say, no, we use the word grooming to describe a lot of things. You know, you groom someone to take over a company. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a sexual connotation in that term. You're conditioning someone to accept some kind of behavior or be qualified for some kind of position. So it's not a sexual word to begin with.
Right.
But even if it is a sexual word, even if we do mean it with that connotation, it is sexual abuse for a child to have their body mutilated, their sexuality mutilated, their fertility mutilated.
Yeah, maybe, just maybe.
It is. Right. And so if you are exposing children to that ideology, praising it, encouraging it, and leading someone, conditioning that child to accept that sexual abuse, then yeah, it's grooming.
Oh, absolutely. And I sort of, when this first started happening, went, oh, grooming, such a strong word.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I want to use that to refer to people. And they even said that on the show. And now that you just see it more and more and more, you're getting inundated with it. There's no way that I'm going to look at this and not think that it's exactly what it is. And I'm sorry, we're sort of giving away where we're going to conclude on the show today. But you guys will see it for your own eyes, with your own eyes, and you can decide in the comments down below. You know, I always encourage people who disagree with us, put it down in the comments below. Tell me exactly why. We'll refer to it later on in the week and talk about it and discuss your differing perspectives on this. But what you said, I think, is really important, is that this is starting to galvanize people who maybe weren't even politically involved or who were on the progressive left side of things. We saw Elon Musk share this meme that went absolutely viral saying, you know, conservatives and centrists have sort of stayed exactly where they are. And this progressive left is just like, no, we're going to keep inching over, and not only are we going to inch over, but we're going to ask you to do the same. And when you don't, we're just going to go ahead and teach your kids all the stuff that we're moving on. And I think just normal people who are maybe politically apathetic or, again, centrist are going, oh no, this is not normal. You guys are getting a little bit too extreme.
It's way too extreme. I mean, I actually can't think of a parent across the country or anybody. I mean, you don't even have to be a parent. I can't think of anybody, even our age or younger, who thinks it's appropriate for a kindergarten teacher to talk to little kids about sex. Like, that's just weird.
Right.
Like, don't talk to little kids about sex. They should be building blocks. They should be learning their ABCs. They should be sharing and going to nap time. They shouldn't be talking about sex. That's, I mean, it's a bridge too far. The progressive left are pushing it so far that they're facing the backlash that they should.
Exactly. What did I tell you guys? The final step is normalization, and they were too quick to jump to that final step, and now everything's out in the open, and we're all seeing it, and we're all going, that's disgusting, and I don't want anything to do with that. I don't even have kids, and I'm like, where's the local school board meeting? I want to go and talk to these people and talk about how we're going to vote them out. I'm not even a California resident yet.
my husband and I were talking about this, actually, right before I came on set. Our daughter's 15 months old, and We were talking about schooling. We were talking about, you know, they send kids to preschool at like 3 years old now, which I don't, I mean, we can have a discussion about whether that's appropriate, but he's like, do you think that they would be grooming 3-year-olds? And I was like, they might. Look at these videos.
They just might be. It's like, they're barely speaking English yet, but let me tell you about all the different pronouns you can use and all the different surgeries you can go through. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this definition of what grooming is. James Lindsay, you know, he's a friend of the show, a friend of PragerU. He shared this definition on Instagram and Twitter. Grooming, the deliberate act of bringing a child into a sexual, political, or racial ideology, practice, cult, or lifestyle without the knowledge or consent by his or her parents for the aim of isolating them from their family so the external party can abuse and manipulate them. Okay, so pretty clear-cut definition. Yeah. I don't have any questions.
No, I mean, it's thorough, but it also leaves room, right? It leaves room to push back on the left saying, well, the teacher would have had to be an actual pedophile to groom that child for sexual abuse. I've been saying on my show that I don't think that it matters whether a teacher or an adult, it doesn't have to be a teacher, is grooming a child for sexual abuse for their own sexual gratification or whether they're grooming a child for the sexual abuse for political gratification.
Right.
Conditioning that child to accept that is, I mean, it's enough. It is. And that's pretty much what this definition encompasses.
Yeah, and you can step outside of the whole gender theory debate and look at critical race theory. Yeah. That's a racial ideology that is grooming kids and getting them to be abused and manipulated into thinking there's victims and oppressors and all these horrific things that are by no means true. And, you know, all of you know me. I experienced that as a child. I was a radical leftist 4 years ago, and it's because of that teaching and because of that groom-like nature of that teaching. Now, let's see if we have any evidence of this. This is an interesting video where teachers are discussing what to do when a kid comes to school and says, you know, mom and dad aren't very accepting of the identity that I want. Here's the name that I would like to be called. Here's the pronouns that I would like. But when mom and dad come to the teacher and say, wait a second, why are you calling my kid by different pronouns and a different name? Can you stop that? Does the teacher say, yes, I'll stop that, or do they say no? We'll let you hear it with your own ears.
What should we do if a parent requests that we refer to their child by the pronouns associated with their sex, assigned at birth, instead of their preferred pronouns or their pronouns, and that we use their legal name instead of a student's chosen name?
So I could respond with something that I've done. This came up for me. It's come up in a couple different ways, but it's come up.
I know you guys are shocked hearing that voice. I'm just going to go ahead and pause. I think the whole room was just like, that doesn't sound right. You guys can speculate as to why that doesn't sound quite right.
For me, where caregivers asked, I actually referred to their child's name in an IEP meeting using the name that the child had asked to be referred to and their chosen pronouns. And the caregivers reacted really strongly and then followed up with me.
Also, by caregivers.
The caregivers?
I mean parents.
That's,
I don't know what
so
pronouns.
Creepy.
Isn't it so weird?
That's so creepy.
The persons who housed the child responded by saying, why? It's like unbelievable.
Oh my God.
The disconnections
the
we are creating. Yeah. And you guys know how powerful language is. Don't correct them. Parents. Not caregivers. Parents.
Me and the principal and said, like, I noticed that you were using a different name than my child's given name at birth and the pronouns that we gave them. And I'm respectfully asking that you use the name and the pronouns that we gave them. So the laws in every state are different, obviously, and I can't speak to the laws in everyone's particular state. But I will say, again, the resources that we'll give you after this have some helpful sites where you can go and look up what the rules are for your estate. But before I responded to the caregiver, I made sure that I had my, I ran it by my principal and my superintendent just to make sure that I had their, that they had my back. And then I responded, I chose my words carefully and I said, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I tried to really like affirm what the caregiver was asking me. Like in terms of, you know, I was like, I hear you saying that, you're feeling uncomfortable with me, you know, using the child's preferred name and pronouns. And I hear that you're using different ones at home. Here at school, the expectation is that all of my students feel comfortable and welcome in my classroom. So in my classroom, I will refer to your child by whatever name and pronouns that they've told me.
Oh my God. So no, I'm not going to respect the name that you've given your child, their actual sex. I'm just going to create whatever your child likes. This is a fifth grade teacher, by the way. So these are young kids.
Fifth graders are 10 years old.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, so you're sitting in this parent-teacher meeting, Liz. What is your response to this teacher saying, you know, I'm not going to do that?
I mean, at the risk of sounding like Greta Thunberg, I'd be like, how dare you? How dare you? I mean, this guy is so incredibly creepy. This is like a big ideological problem between the right and the left, though. There's this idea, and this is the correct idea, it's objectively true, among the right that parents have dominion over their children, right? Mm-hmm. Of course we do. We created them. Women were pregnant with him. We gave birth. I gave birth to my daughter.
Right.
It's my responsibility and my right to raise my daughter according to my own beliefs. I'm the one that makes decisions about her, and it should be that way because I'm the one that loves her, right? Mm. The left thinks that children should be essentially wards of the state. The reason he's using that term caregiver is actually to degrade the role of a parent, to say, yes, you might be the one who has temporary assignment to give this child lunch, but you don't have any right to assign a gender at birth. I hate that phrase.
It makes me like, peace out, y'all. I'm done. I've seen
enough. I'd be like, homeschool, see ya.
Honestly, but you have to think, it's just like, what about the parents who don't have the options? Like, what are they going to do in the wake of this just ideological subversion that their kids are being possessed by at this moment? You can move to another classroom, but it seems like this teacher's going to say, let's hear the rest of this actually before we get into that.
Only they feel most comfortable with. And just have that be it, almost like the guidelines that I try to use when I'm like explaining hard topics to my students, like less is more. I just say like, it sounds like that really works for you at home. You can absolutely choose to do whatever you'd like at home in my classroom. And I even say like every year I start out my year by like sending home information to caregivers that says like, just so you know, like this is an affirming class. Like one of the ways I affirm students is I call them by the names that they ask to be called by and use their correct pronouns. So just like, really, I just told them that maybe that's not helpful, but I just told them.
No, it's not.
No, like respectfully, no. And because I had my principal and my super's support, there wasn't much they could do.
There you go, right from the horse's mouth. No, and there's nothing you can do about it because you can go higher, you can go to an administrator, a principal, even the superintendent, and I've already discussed it with them first and they're backing me on this.
I mean, this is why we have to take back the schools, right? It's why a lot of people are fortunate enough to be able to send their kids to private schools or to homeschool, but we have to fight for these public schools because there are a lot of kids. The majority of kids go to public schools and they're going to come out. They're going to come out having been indoctrinated by this.
Right. To be fair, so the second grade teacher who moderated this discussion is a second grade teacher at Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy, so in San Francisco. So as a parent, you know what you're getting into when you send your kid to that school, but all these other teachers have no excuse. They're, I imagine their schools are not Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy.
Probably not, but I mean, they're attending this session, right?
Yes, they are. And you know, I always say this, these are teachers and educators and administrators taking advantage of something that's innate in children, and it's they're wanting to belong and wanting to do the right thing and to make friends, and they're being taught that this is the way to do it.
Yeah, plus there's just reality that children like to play with their imaginations.
Right.
I mean, when I grew up with a bunch of sisters, and when we were like probably this age, 10 years old, we read the book Ordinary Princess. I don't know if you read that when you were a kid. So cute. And we forced
not Forrest, but we were like, refer to us as Princess Diamond, Princess Ruby, and Princess Amethyst.
Right, of course.
To everyone for like the next week. This is normal imagination. And your parents should be like, okay, Princess, go clean your room.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's exactly right. And so when I was a kid, I was a tomboy. I was just like, I don't want to wear skirts. I don't want to wear dresses.
Yeah.
I want to go play basketball and wear pants and all this stuff. And my mom happens to be a radical leftist. You guys know that. I can't imagine growing up now and being like, hey, Mom, I'm a tomboy. And then being like, oh, here's puberty blockers and hormone therapy and sex reassignment surgery.
Go to Target and get your chest binders.
Right. It's like, oh, I narrowly escaped this generation of growing up and being completely gender confused. And I'm just lucky to be on the outside of it and being able to commentate on it. But I can't imagine what this next generation of kids is going to look like in 20 years.
Yeah, because they're not going to have that same, like, we can zoom out and say, oh, wow, this is crazy. But to them, if they're taught in early grades, that they're taught that they can be whatever gender they want, they're not going to have that perspective to be like, wow, that's messed up.
Right. This will be all they've ever known. And here's another educator talking about a book called They, She, He. Easy as ABC, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everyone. Miss Abby here. I hope that you are having a wonderful day. Today, I'm going to read They, She, He, Easy as ABC. And this is a book about pronouns, what you call somebody, and gender.
So I like how she's talking, like, kids are watching. They, she, he, ladies and gentlemen. Oh,
somebody feels.
Such a creep.
Oh, I hate it. And they're going to talk about lots of different pronouns. You might have heard she or he or they. And they're going to explain some even more of them. This book is by Maya and Matthew.
Even more.
They, She, He. Easy as ABC by Maya and Matthew. They. New friends are everywhere, waiting to play. Out on the dance floor, we love to sing they. They is a way to let everyone be, no one left out, and everyone free. Then, when we're friends, we sing they, she, he, z.
They, she, he, z. They're even giving, like, neo pronouns to these children. We were looking at, like, TikToks of girls who said, like, my pronouns are demon and demon self and toy self. Have you seen, like, these new neo pronouns?
I mean, I would just respond and say, yeah, my pronouns to you are your majesty.
Honestly. Oh, so crazy. Well, you don't need to see the rest of this, ladies and gentlemen. You can imagine how
you're already gonna have to detox your mind.
Yeah, you already do. It's just feel like there's not much more you need to see. At least you know that it's happening. Here's one more. This is not in school. This pertains to medicine, which is even scarier. Here's a medical practitioner talking about queer surgeries. You know them as probably top and bottom surgery, things that people who identify as transgender undergo when they are doing medical transitioning. He's talking about this specifically with minors.
Go.
So I'm here to clarify and speak some truths about what's happening with gender-affirming care in adolescents. Most of the bills that are going through right now aim to limit this care for people under the age of 18. And there's this false narrative that a lot of teenagers are having gender-affirming surgery. Most of the teenagers that are having surgery are getting chest surgery, and most of that is happening before 18.
So there's this false lie that teens are getting gender-affirming surgery, but most of the teens that are getting gender-affirming surgery
are under 18.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Because these individuals didn't have access to early enough medical treatment. So using surgery as sort of this false narrative to attack gender-affirming care as a whole is not correct. The truth is that by limiting access to medical care with some of these bills, you're actually going to cause more people to need gender-affirming surgical care in the future.
So he means if you don't give your 7-year-old puberty-blocking drugs.
Exactly.
Then they're going to need surgery.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean, at least he's saying it, right?
Yeah.
Don't take our word for it. Listen to them say it themselves.
That's where I'm at in all of the arguments that I make these days on any given subject. It's just like, I don't even need to talk on this podcast anymore. Here's just like a super cut reel of leftists telling you exactly what they're doing. Yeah, he's saying.
I always say, believe them. That's the problem that I think people have on the right is sometimes we're like, no, they couldn't mean that. Give them the benefit of the doubt. We must have misunderstood. They must have misspoken. I'm like, no, you should believe literally exactly what they're saying.
Right. And that's exactly how we got here. And I like to think I'm always in the camp of, oh, this is just a small fringe group of people who's just super loud. Is that your belief right now, or what are you thinking?
I mean, not anymore. Mm. I think 10 years ago, maybe it was.
Yeah.
10 years ago, 15 years ago. But now, these are not isolated incidents. This is in the curriculum of... This is in the curriculum of schools. I mean, when he's talking about this gender-affirming surgery, I put that in quotation marks. But this is the official guidelines of the governing organizations that make the standards for, you know, whether it's pediatricians or surgeons or even the federal government. The Biden White House is advocating for these gender surgeries in minors. So, no, I don't think that this is a fringe anymore. And I think that's why we're seeing the outcry that we're seeing across our country, because parents are realizing, oh, my school, which I went to as a child and was totally fine, and, you know, our neighbor down the street is a teacher there, I thought that felt safe. People have a hard time believing that this is in their neighborhood. They feel like, oh, maybe it's happening in California, maybe it's happening in New York, some crazy place.
Right.
But not, like, here in our town. And all of a sudden, they're coming to this realization that, yeah, it's in our town, too. And that's when people are saying, oh, hell no.
Oh, absolutely. I want to tell you guys a quick story. I met at Dave Rubin's event in Brea that he did recently for his book tour. Don't burn this country. Go get his book. I went there and just to see him, and Dennis was speaking as well. And this mother walked up to me and she said, you know, I've been watching your show and I watched the segment that you did on critical race theory and gender theory. And she said, and I looked into my daughter's school and I pulled her out of school. And now I'm homeschooling her. And she's like, it's never something I thought I would ever be doing. And she's like, it's very difficult. It's a tough battle. But I've decided to do it, and this is where I'm at now. So it's just a beautiful thing that if anything, we can awaken people and be like, just take a look. I know you might not think this is happening where you are, but just take a quick look.
I mean, that I'm so proud of this woman. So if you're watching, you're an amazing mother. This is an amazing thing. Mothers across the country should take note. This is how you protect your child. This is how you raise your child. Like, your child is going to grow up to be an amazing, self-sufficient, well-rounded person because you're making the sacrifice. That's literally the definition of putting your money where your mouth is, making that sacrificial. That's sacrificial love is what that is for your kid. And I mean, I'm proud of you for bringing that to light, but that's a hard thing to do, to say, I'm going to pull my child out of school because of this.
Yeah.
And homeschool.
Especially when you've lived your whole life just like, you know, go to school. I'm going to drop you off and I've got my time to myself. And suddenly you're like, oh no, I'm with my kid all day. I have to do this. And that's such an amazing responsibility to take on and such a beautiful thing. And I would love to see that. Love to see other people do that in whatever way they can.
Yeah.
Like, I made a video the other day. I'm not shopping at Target anymore.
Your girl loves Target.
I know. I'm like, anytime I see a Target, I'm like right at the parking lot.
I can't even walk into Target for like one thing. I walk in to just say like, okay, I'm not going to look at anything else. I'm going to get one thing, and I walk out with like $200 worth of stuff.
Yeah, and now they're like, oh, if you're a teenager whose mom doesn't accept your gender identity, just sneak on into Target and get your chest binders and stuff and just wear them. Transition in the transition closet in your kindergarten teacher's classroom and then come back home.
It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we just have to do as... Even if it's a little thing, like not going to Target anymore, guys, step up and don't
do it. This lady's homeschooling her children. You cannot go to Target.
Exactly. You cannot go to Target.
And by the way, a lot of people, a word of encouragement for this mom, a lot of people are going to tell you that your kid is going to be socially unprepared.
Right.
As a homeschooled student, I can tell you that's false. Oh. That is false.
No, not at all. Look at
We're fine.
Look at Daily Wire's new personality, Brett Cooper. She's like homeschooled, graduated from UCLA at 19, and now she's like running her own show. You can get socialization in several different ways. Don't let the government convince you that public schooling is the only way that you can do
it. Or that government schooling is socialization.
Yeah, honestly, at this point, because it's creating just a bunch of antisocial, anxiety, depression-ridden individuals who don't know what to do anymore because of what they've been subjected to at school. So, again, don't look at things based on their intentions. Look at their results. And right now, the results are not looking good for anybody. Now, Joe Rogan hopped into this grooming debate to talk about whether or not we use this word, and he had some very strong words to share. We're going to react to that right now.
How do you feel about education? I think it's critical. It's very important.
Yeah.
How do you feel about indoctrination by people that are educators? I don't like that at all. There's just two very different things.
Right.
And if you want to tell me that they're the same thing, I say, you.
Right.
Because they're not. Because there's a lot of crazy people that wind up being teachers. Someone said to me that, or read this, not all, you know, the term groomer, a lot of people don't like that term online. They're very upset. Yeah, yeah. But they're real. Right. There are groomers. You don't like it? Do you not like it because you don't want children to be groomed? Or do you not like it because it's a pejorative that's used against the left? Which is, I think, more likely.
Yeah.
Well, here's what's more important. Not have people groom your kids. That's what's more important than you getting uncomfortable with this word because it's used by people on the right. Like, I saw someone as an argument, someone who I think is an intelligent person, say that there should be a block against using the word groomer.
Unbelievable.
No, no, there should be no groomers.
Ah, oh, Joe. You know, I think both of us are just like, wow, very strong words. We would never sit on our shows and be like, you. But that's where Joe is, and you need somebody to be like that.
He's so based. It's so funny to watch. I mean, did you see how his eyes are like bugging out? Like, yes. Don't groom the children and we won't use the words.
Exactly.
Common sense. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
It really is. And I think what's really interesting about like the Joe Rogans and the Dave Rubens of the world is these are people who functioned from a progressive lens for so long. Mm-hmm. And now they're going through the same journey as so much of their fellow Americans, seeing this and going, oh no, wait a second. I'm not where I thought I was. They seem to keep moving. I seem to keep staying where I am. And now let's bring a light to this and highlight it and tell people. And people are flocking to him. They're not going to CNN and MSNBC and ABC to watch their news anymore. They're going to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, what is Joe Rogan's ratings? Like 13 times the amount of CNN's primetime program.
I think he has like 11 or 12 million average viewers for one episode. It's unbelievable.
It's so crazy. And I mean, this is just common sense, right? He in this way, he's actually speaking for, in a sense, voters on both sides, parents on both sides, because that's how people feel. A lot of people are either just afraid to say it because they don't want the backlash, or they don't know how to verbalize it, or maybe they do know how to verbalize it and they don't know where their words will be most effective, where they can channel their activism.
Right.
I love it. I saw this video last night actually, and it made me laugh because I thought, I'm actually glad you used those words, because if you'd said it in a nicer way, in a more professional way, I just wouldn't have had the same hit.
Yeah, it's like where you have the James Lindsays who really take a microscope to it and really delve into it and explain it to you, you also need the Joe Rogans. Yeah. Who are just like, F you, I don't want it, get it out of here. Now, the best part about all of this is that I think the left has trouble responding to the arguments that we're making. It's a very tough thing to defend, which is an amazing place that they've put themselves in, that they can't defend the very things that they are trying to put in our public schools. Here's Cenk Uygur giving his response to Joe Rogan. As you can imagine, just as Anna Kasparian responded to Roe versus Wade and the whole draft leak, this is going to be very measured, very mild.
Intellectual.
Yes. Here we go.
By the way, if you're the trans person or several people that slept with Joe Rogan, can you let us know? Because it's obvious that it's personal for him. Okay, Joe, you slept with a person like that. There's nothing wrong with it. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it, Joe. It's super obvious that you're super into trans people. And you're taking it out, your hatred of yourself, on them, and you're making their life dangerous. By the way,
a pause. Oh my gosh. So similar to the Anna Kasparian freakout, by the way. We're going to have to clip this and do another one of just like the Young Turks freaking out.
That's what they want,
everything.
Though.
It is.
I mean, honestly, he's so desperate for ratings. He's so desperate for views. He knows what he's saying is absurd. It's actually really pathetic and really sad to see him say that kind of stuff. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm a socialist and I believe in socialist policies, therefore I, you know, disagree with Republican free market, blah, 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 or whatever his views are on economy. But this is just a cry for help. He's on a dying show on a dying network, exactly. And it's really embarrassing
and
for
it's
him.
It's not working. It's just unbelievable. It's like, I guess they go into the writer's room in the morning, they're like, okay, what do I have to yell about? For how long do I have to do it? Make sure you get the clip, put it out on Twitter. Unbelievable. And you know, this idea that because somebody disagrees with you they want to sleep with you is like he getting his playbook from AOC. I don't know what's happening. It's like you are grasping at straws to defend the arguments that you have, and you're not even trying anymore.
No, that's why they focus on these terms. I mean, he's throwing a tantrum because it's actually an insult to his own viewers, right? He thinks his viewers can be emotionally manipulated,
right?
Which maybe they can't if they're watching him.
Honestly.
But he's throwing a tantrum just to try to get him to elicit a response that doesn't focus on what we're actually talking about. Is it appropriate for a teacher to call a student, a fifth grade student, right, by a different name and by invented pronouns, even when the parents say, no, that's what we're talking about, and he doesn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, and people see right through it. We don't talk about elections on this show, but I'm very curious to see what happens with the upcoming cycle. Because I have a feeling no matter how much you yell and scream, it's not going to work. And I was surprised, you know, when the Roe v. Wade draft leak got out, I was like, oh, here we go. They found their thing. It wasn't going to be climate change. That was way too far away. It wasn't something that people could grasp onto. Roe v. Wade's the next thing. I feel like we're already done talking about it for the most part, and that it's already sort of, the outrage has gone through the cycle. There's still people outside protesting at the U.S. Supreme Court, but it's like the crazies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to change when the actual ruling comes down.
Right,
but I think the Democrats did the same thing, or the left did the same thing that they did with this grooming stuff, is they just overshot, mm-hmm. right? They went, remember in the Bill Clinton years, I mean, it's before a lot of people watching the show were born. Before, I mean, I was a tiny little child before I remember, but they said abortion should be safe, legal, and rare.
Yes.
Everyone acknowledged that abortion wasn't a good thing, that we tried to reduce it, and the Democrats just said, but it should still be there, and Republicans said, well, no, it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. They don't make any bones about the fact that that they want abortion on demand for any reason up until the moment before birth. There were some guests on MSNBC that said that she wanted to sleep with the leaker of the Supreme Court opinion and then joyfully abort the baby. Like, that's demonic. That's so twisted. That turns everyone off. Even people who are like, oh, well, I guess abortion should be legal even though we don't like it. You say that to them and they're like, no, we don't want to be on the same side as you.
Right. They're showing their colors.
Yeah.
And they're way too comfortable. And I don't know when they're going to go like, oh, well, we need to put a button on that. That didn't quite. We were way too soon. We jumped the gun a little bit. So I'm curious to see what happens. I think, Liz, that we've concluded the left is grooming children.
I think so.
Is there any question left there? Taylor can't comment, but Taylor, you can comment, but you can't. You're not on camera. Do you think we've come to a conclusion here?
It remains a mystery to me, for sure.
Taylor is still undecided. I think Liz and I have decided on this particular issue. I want you to let me know in the comments down below, has your view changed on this? Like I said, I took a stance before saying, well, that's a very strong word. Let's look into this verse. And now I'm like, the word's not strong enough for what's happening and for what my eyes have been burned seeing. So let me know how you're feeling about that in the comments. Do you disagree with me on anything? Do you think that there is space to have conversations about sexuality and gender and race in these classrooms? Is that something that teachers should be taking on, or is that simply a parent's responsibility? We're in the camp of the parent's responsibility, the parent's rights, some might say, a lot of Floridians might say. But Liz, any final words you have on this subject matter before we close out for today?
I mean, I just want to give a shout out to all the parents who don't do what we do for a living, meaning we're in politics. We live and breathe the news and the fights and the arguments on Twitter and what politician says this and that. That's not what most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to step out of your comfort zone when you are, you know, working in your job in your industry and raising your kids and paying your mortgage, to step out of your comfort zone and be able to say, okay, I don't like politics, but I will do whatever needs to be done to protect my children, to be able to raise my family, to protect my rights as a parent, I don't think that there's anybody that I have more respect for than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, like I said, it's one thing if you're a politician, or it's one thing if you're a commentator, to like raise your voice in opposition to a political policy. It's another thing for people who aren't politicos by profession to get involved. And so, I don't know, I just want to say how amazing it is that all these parents are doing it, and that even if you aren't a politico, even if you don't feel like you have all the information, trust your gut, trust what you're seeing when you see these videos. Don't let the left tell you that it's not happening, because it is happening. And if we don't put a stop to it, who's going to?
Oh, absolutely. Your kids are your kids, and you can stand up for them. And I think by and large, people are going to be doing that. And where there's been 100 school board videos of parents going and getting viral, there's going to be 100,000 more with all of this that's going on right now. Liz, I'm absolutely positive that people are watching this right now, and they're like, how can I support her? How can I find her? How can I watch her? What can people do?
Yeah, I would be honored if you would join me on my show, The Liz Wheeler Show. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on YouTube, on Rumble, anywhere basically that you watch or listen to pods. You can also go to lizwheelershow.com and all the information will be there. You can join us on Locals too.
Oh,
Locals
awesome.
Is, you know, the parallel economy, the place where we cannot be canceled, where we have all of the terrible conversations that Twitter tells us we're not allowed to have. You can join us, lizwheelershow.com/locals. Over there, and we have a great time.
Oh, amazing. So thank you so much for visiting us here in Los Angeles. I know it's a pretty scary place to be in, especially this time of year. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We love having on guests, and especially Liz. She's so fantastic. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. That is 3:00 Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. We're also on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review there, because you know we've made the leftists very, very mad, and they love to leave 1-star reviews when they get very, very mad. So go in there and fix it for us, because they are coming for me
constantly. We will see you tomorrow, Tuesday, for another fun hot topic, hot debate. We'll get your hot takes and I'll give you mine. I can't wait to see you there. Have a fantastic night. Bye, guys.